right, guys, welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tommy.
All right, let's get this started.
All right, guys, had a good week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are going to be listening to this, and it's just after Easter for us, right?
Yeah.
And for them.
We don't celebrate it at a different time.
Well,
it's not like daylight savings time. We're like, we're back, you know, behind an hour.
If they listen to it next year, then it could be before Easter. But
gotcha.
Anyway, this Easter. But you guys had a good Easter. We had a good Easter.
We did.
Yeah.
It was good, man. It's good to see you guys. Really excited about today's episode, Justin, because we could finally get to talk about Jeff.
Yeah. It's really great when that spotlight shifts from away from you and onto somebody
else. Right. So. More of a vertical. Well, he's taller than us, too, so it's a literal vertical shift.
Yeah, but he's got bad knees, so he might be.
I didn't say he was perfect. I didn't say he's pretty close, but I didn't,
I'm starting to crouch a little bit.
He's got a full head of hair and he's tall. But so, Jeff, we get to talk about you now, your story. I find it very, very interesting. But before we get into all that, let's talk about your youth and, you know, where you came from. Well, I don't want to talk about where he came from.
Yeah, you do.
No.
Bring it, Tommy.
There's a lot of people, and I'm not going to say the words, so that's not going to happen.
Is it war?
What? Ooh, I wasn't sure.
No, Justin, that was
wrong. It's Roll Tide.
Oh,
baby.
Man.
There's Roll Tide.
There's only one or two options when you're born in Alabama.
That's true.
But yeah. I feel like, you know, based off the people in the studio who have no one else to cheer for in the Final Four, that you should say Roll Tide.
Well, you know, it's funny. Someone told me one time, hey, I don't go for a team just because they're in a certain conference, right? Mm-hmm. Just like we don't go for the devil just because he's in the Bible. So that's, you know, it's the same logic there.
I don't get it.
Right?
Yeah,
you don't get
it? I don't know
where it's
going.
Stretch.
Yeah. Who do you go for, Tommy?
In what sport?
Oh, you're one of those guys.
Wow.
Okay.
Basketball.
Say no more.
No, football.
So college football?
Yeah.
So college football, I go for...
Say it.
Go Tigers.
Ugh. Which
one?
Why do y'all spell it wrong?
LSU Tigers.
Why do y'all spell go wrong?
How do you know it's spelled wrong?
Because there's way too many vowels.
And an X.
So, but hey, man, if that's how y'all were taught, that's good.
I was married into this, though, because, look... If I didn't go along with it, then, you know, it'd be trouble. Let's just put it that way. I wouldn't be well accepted. Mm. So, no, I like the LSU Tigers.
Yeah. You look good in crimson, though, when you guys lose to us every year and you have to wear
Every Alabama. Year is a stretch, and we have beat Alabama. So Jeff and I have this annual bet that happens when LSU plays Alabama, and the loser has to wear the other's swag at church. And I've had to wear it a few times, and Jeff's had to wear it twice. You wore it this year.
Yeah, I did have to wear it this year.
Yeah. Actually, did you wear it this year?
No. Well,
I think you did not.
You wore mine this year. We beat you this year.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
But anyway. I was real gracious because it was very subtle what I had you wear.
That's true.
So you're welcome.
Well, anyway. Let me save everyone and just kind of to Tommy's point. You know, getting to know a little bit about Jeff, about your story.
Yeah.
We'll start off with what Tommy was asking is, where are you from?
Where are you from?
You know.
I am from Mobile, Alabama, born and raised. My parents have been married 60 years this year.
Wow.
That's awesome.
60 years, and that's your parents. Give them a shout out.
Bobby and Sheila Gautney.
Bobby and Sheila. Yes. Happy anniversary.
In Mobile, like a big...
It's not their anniversary yet, but...
Well,
cruise port.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The battleship.
Yeah, the battleship.
When you drive down to the beach.
Yeah, going down I-10.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, so they've been in the same house 59 of those 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And they had the same neighbor.
Really?
For those 59 years.
Good for them.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's good for them.
I come from ultra stability in that regard. But yeah. So when I go home, it's literally going home. So. But yeah. So born and raised there. I'm the baby of three boys. I have... Oldest brother is Wayne, then there's Brian, and then me. Wayne is 11 years older than me.
Wow.
I like to emphasize that. But, my mom says that I was the best accident she ever had because she went to the doctor with flu-like symptoms because she was sick. So, yeah. Wasn't planning on me coming along later than my brothers, but yeah, here I am.
So, Doc, I have a sore throat, stomach ache, whatever, flu symptoms, fever.
Right.
Imagine that surprise. You go in thinking you're paying one copay for the flu, and then you're walking out with like a lifetime of bills.
Literally, because that was quite the accident prone child. Oh,
well, what test for the flu and pregnancy?
One you don't want.
Oh, man. Oh,
that's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
well, I'm glad you were born.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, just I grew up in a Christian home. My dad became a believer after they were married, and so he learned a lot of things, you know, as a grown man trying to figure it out. And so he worked at International Paper Company and worked shift work for 37 years. And so, you know, there was like 1 week out of the month that we actually got to our schedules aligned and got to hang out, but. As busy as his schedule was, he was very present. He taught me a lot of things, sports and fishing and all the guy things, you know. But my mom was definitely the spiritual teacher, leader in my life. We spent a lot of time.
So, can you kind of share with us a little bit some ways that she shared her faith with you and how that shaped, you know, you and that young.
So, Mom, one thing that she taught me was that she never wasted an opportunity to teach us something about the Lord. And so, whether that was, you know, seeing somebody that had made poor choices in life, whether, you know, that was a friend, a family member, somebody at church, you know, or even a movie for that matter, she would take that as an opportunity to be like, that's why, you know, I teach you this. This is why the Bible says this. And so, she would take every opportunity to do that and to both correct, but also to kind of say, hey, that was a good choice. You know, what you did there was good. And so
I think that helps to with the perspective of different things that otherwise you wouldn't think of things that way. For example, it was later in my life that I thought, ooh, if I saw a car accident, I should probably pray for those people rather than just slowing down and rubbernecking.
Right. Yeah.
So I think your mom probably gave you insights like that, like take this opportunity, use this opportunity.
Well, I mean, I remember one specific example as a young kid that this family, their house caught on fire like right before Christmas and they lost everything. They didn't have anything like a week before Christmas. And so we were challenged at our church to take our very precious toy gift that we had that was ours and give that to these kids. And I remember wrestling with, like, I don't want to give them my robot, my transformer. You know, like, it was the coolest thing ever. And so in that, I remember giving that as a gift and feeling, you know, once I gave it was just, you know, it was such a joy of giving and just learning that at an early age was pretty cool, too. So that's just an example.
Yeah. I will say the more I hear about your mom and dad, and obviously I've met them and they're sweet, sweet people, but I just see more and more like how they did shape, you know, a lot of, you know, the cool things that you have about you. Like your mom and never wasting a moment. Like if anybody knows Jeff, he is like the ultimate let's set a goal person. He's the only person that can like make working out kind of feel fun to start before you start. But then even your dad, when you talk about he was intentional and like, you know, just around and present, like you were totally that with your family and your kids. Like you were all about protecting that time.
Yeah.
And so that's really sweet, man.
Yeah. 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 Dad was definitely more behind the scenes and did things that I didn't even know he was doing for people until later in life. And then mom was much more kind of outspoken and involved in a teacher. And, you know, my dad, you know, as a deacon, if he had to take the offering up, like his stomach would be in knots. Like he'd have to be in front of people. So I definitely get being in front of people from my mom. So, yeah.
So tell us about your brothers.
Yeah. So, My brother Wayne.
Hello, Wayne.
What's up, Wayne? Shout out. Wayne is awesome. Best big brother a guy could have. Truly the nicest person on the planet.
He's pretty cool.
Super talented artist.
I've seen some of his paintings.
Yeah.
We were in Ecuador. Didn't he paint that in Colombia?
Yeah. He painted a picture of an owl when he was 15, and it won some award and hung in the White House, like at 15.
That's
like
cool.
He's super talented.
Can you paint?
No.
Okay.
No, not at all.
So you're the sports athletic one. He's the painter.
Right. He draws me playing sports. No.
Well, you mentioned your middle brother Brian. Why don't you tell us about him?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up in a Christian home like that, and you know, having a mom and dad that were faithful and loved the Lord, and everything went really smoothly. And you know, my brother Brian Wayne was super smart and artistic and creative, and then my brother Brian was very like hands-on, was going to go into like refrigeration and heating and air, and loved cars and hunting and fishing.
And so, how old, so you're the youngest.
So Wayne is 11 years older than me, and yep. Brian is 8 years older.
Okay.
Than me. Yeah. So, but yeah, life was good and everything was rolling smoothly, going to church anytime the doors were open. And I remember being 9 years old, third grade, and I had gone to school all day and came home and was playing the original Nintendo system.
So was it like Super Mario Brothers?
Was it even Super at that point?
Well,
it's probably just Mario Brothers. Yeah.
I had that. Man, I remember when that Nintendo came out.
Yeah.
That's all I did. Duck Hunt, Mario.
Man, that was so cool.
That dog.
The dog.
Laughed at you.
Duck Hunt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That no, hurts. You're good. Yeah.
So you're playing.
So I'm playing the original Nintendo system in my room, and I remember hearing the most horrific scream that I've ever heard in my life. And it was one that you didn't have to question was, you know, does somebody, you know, it's something bad has happened. And so I remember just throwing the remote control down and running to where the sound was coming from, and ran to our front room in our house. And mom was laying down on the floor, curled up in the fetal position. And she was just crying and rocking back and forth. And you know, as a 9 year old, I thought, you know, mom's having a heart attack, you know. But the weird thing was, is that my dad was standing next to her. And my dad, not being an emotional guy, was crying. He had tears in his eyes. And man, I was just so confused trying to figure out what was happening. And my dad looked at me and he said, son, he said, Brian's just been killed in a car wreck. He was 16, almost 17 years mm-hmm. old. And so, you know, I didn't know how to process that. I remember jumping on my bicycle and riding around the neighborhood, telling my friends and these other little 9-year-old kids, not knowing what to say to me, you know. And family flooded over to our house, and man, just trying to comfort us and console us. And man, it was just a really difficult time for sure.
Yeah. And so, like with that, you know, knowing your story, share with us kind of how that shaped a lot of kind of your going forward.
Yeah.
Kind of testimony and just, you know, salvation and all that.
Yeah. So, you know, this happened when I was in third grade. And, you know, before I answer your question, Justin, like I remember specifically, you know, my teacher at this time, her name was Miss Bacon. And I remember thinking her name was hilarious as a kid.
Did y'all ever?
No, we didn't do anything. I mean, this is third grade, so okay. We weren't that brave,
right.
You know, to make fun of her or anything.
Oh, but I didn't mean make fun of her, but you're all like, Miss Bacon.
Right.
Love bacon.
Right, no.
Okay.
No, she was super sweet, though. Super great lady.
Instead of bringing her an apple, you bring her a BLT.
That's a good gift.
That is a good gift.
I'd love a BLT right now. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Anyway, I remember her really stood out to me in my life and all of this, because this was a public school. And she allowed the kids in my class to take up some money, and she bought flowers and came to my house. And, you know, my mom was a substitute teacher at the school, so they were friends. And she came and brought those flowers and prayed with us and just really encouraged us. And she really stood out to me as someone that really made a difference in that time.
Impactful.
It was really difficult. So it's been, yeah.
Still to this day, you're talking about it. So it's very impactful.
Oh, yeah.
She had on.
Yeah. And especially when something that tragic happens, especially somebody so right. young, you remember specific
things.
I think
too, man,
like
when tragedy happens, I think sometimes, you know, people don't know how to respond,
sure.
you know, to those that are, mm-hmm. that are walking through a tragedy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, when's the right time? How do you, you know, what do you say? How
so
do you
difficult.
Say it? You don't want to say anything that's going to, you know, yeah. trigger emotions and tears. So for her to do that's pretty mm-hmm. cool to just kind of show up and,
yeah.
and just kind of serve, you know, in yeah. a very subtle, but impactful way.
Yeah. And I would probably say the most impactful thing, you know, of all of this was, you know, I found out from my brother's Sunday school teacher that, you know, 2 weeks prior to his death, he had prayed a prayer for his friends that he's trying to share the gospel with at school that didn't want to have anything to do with it. He, his prayer was, you know, God, I'm willing to do anything that my friends would come to know you. And 2 weeks later was killed in that car wreck. And those friends plus,
wow,
you know, almost 1,000 students came to the funeral.
So your brother was a believer.
Yeah.
Was, he was 16, almost 17.
Yeah.
So how did that impact you? I think back to Justin's question now. How did?
So what it did was it caused me to be very afraid really quickly.
Afraid of death?
Yeah. I mean, you're not thinking about
like death. It's real now. It hit home.
Yeah. Like, I mean, even though that happened to me, like even now, like it's not even really on my radar that something could happen to my kids or my wife.
And
you know
what
I mean?
We have kids that are his age.
That are his age. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that wasn't even on the radar, but when something like that happens, it really, you know, even as a 9-year-old kid, you question a lot of things. You start to ask different types of questions. Think about heaven and hell differently. And I just remember being afraid, like if my brother died, then so can I. And so, you know, a couple of months, I would say 5 months after that, there was a revival at our local high school. And at the invitation time, just really kind of wrestling with some of these questions and thoughts, I prayed that prayer at the end, and he said, if you pray the prayer, you got to come down. So I went down and was super emotional because I was just so upset about everything and didn't understand any of it. You know, I just wanted to kind of sign my name on a card that ensured I didn't go to hell. Mm. And so I wrestled, you know, I felt like I was a really good kid, but, you know, I felt like I, you know, strived for good grades and all the things and all the stuff. So it wasn't like people looked at me and was like, man, that kid needs Jesus, you know. I was in church all
the
time.
Your behavior wasn't.
My behavior was good. Bad, yeah. Right. And so, but internally I was wrestling, you know. So from 9 to 15, I was constantly doubting, having questions because I knew I didn't understand. Even questions that people, like a pastor asked me about baptism. He's like, if you were to die today, where would you go? And I was like, hell, because I haven't been baptized. And he was like, no, that's not, you know. But I still, you know, followed through with believer's baptism. And, you know, and so I just wrestled with understanding all of that. And so it wasn't until I was 15 at another revival at our church where, you know, here I am now.
But you'd been, so at nine, starting at nine.
Yeah.
You went down front, you signed the card, you got baptized. Mm-hmm. You started getting involved, more involved in church, or, you know, you've been involved in church.
Yeah.
Continuing that, starting becoming like a leader at a young age. But all the while, this internal conflict.
Yeah.
People see you on the outside. You're fine. Your behavior's good.
Model kid.
Good Christian boy.
Sure. Yeah.
But the inside, you knew it was a fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there was no peace.
Yeah. And I think that points to a lot of things that, you know, people wrestle with all the time, you know, and that's what's cool about the story you know, you have is, you know, it's not about the things we do or the behavior stuff or, you know, you came from rock solid, you know, believer parents, right? And even all of that, like it still comes down to the heart and the relationship and knowing whether or not you know you're his. And, you know, and one thing, you know, kind of going back just a little bit before we shoot to to the revival you're at in 16 and kind of the rest of that is, you know, you touched on your mom. You know, there were your brother's friends.
Right.
And then plus more were at the funeral.
Yeah.
And like, so walk us through like how your mom even used that opportunity. Like you said, she's done with other things in the past.
Sure.
Like uses the that opportunity. Yeah. For her.
Yeah.
For her
I mean, I've heard from numerous people, family, friends that, you know, at her, you know, my brother's funeral, her own son, you know, she told our pastor that, hey, listen, there's going to be kids here at this funeral that will never set foot in church. You know, don't waste the opportunity. Another, don't waste my son's death. You know, don't.
This is your opportunity to preach to him.
Yeah, preach to him.
And how many people? So you didn't go to his funeral.
I didn't go.
Because you were young. I mean, I don't blame you for that.
Yeah, I didn't go. I was nine. You know, and hearing stories now, I'm glad I didn't go. You know,
but how many people? You heard
there were 1,000 students from his high school.
Yeah.
And your mom, in her grief, though, had a higher perspective.
Yeah.
And an opportunity here to live out essentially your brother's last prayer that we know about.
Yeah. Yeah.
That his life would be impactful to his friends.
Yeah. And you know, it's kind of like reading James 1, 2 through 4, you know, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. You know, you're like, how do you have joy in that? And it wasn't that my mom wasn't, my mom was grieving.
Oh,
like,
man.
I mean, my mom lived to be a mom. She lives to be a grandmother. She loves deeply. And so she hurt deeply, obviously. But at the same time, she loved the Lord so much and she trusted the Lord. And she just knows, you know, what we know, that if God is a good father, then this can be used for good as much as it hurts.
Well, it's his strength in her then.
Yeah.
His peace and his joy. It's not her.
Right.
Well, and I think too, and I know this isn't specific to your story, but I, you know, seeing people that have lost a child when they are truly a believer.
Yeah.
And the pain's still there equally for somebody that maybe doesn't know the Lord or is wrestling with, like, you know, even before something like that happens, like, who is God, right? Like that, like, you just see such a difference because there is that kind of like, hey, if their child, you know, was a believer, and then there is kind of that looking on to like, hey, you know, God's still good. Doesn't change who he is.
Right.
Even though there's going to be grieving, there's going to be pain, there's going to be sorrow, there's all those things. But like that's, and to think about your mom doing that, not even just like months, years later, like leading up to like, you know, the funeral. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. Yeah. And any stories with that, like obviously you were impacted. Any stories that came out of that with like others that were just like, man, like, I don't know that I believe.
Right.
You know, any salvation stories?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even, you know, that core group of friends that my brother was praying for, like one of them specifically just wrote my mom on Facebook like a couple months ago and was like, you know, if it weren't for that particular time, you know,
amazing
believer to this day. And
that's cool.
You know, serving the Lord with his family and all of that. So, yeah, it's never something we would, you know, and I know my brother, when he prayed that prayer, wasn't thinking, you know, this is what's going to happen. He just really wanted his friends to trust the Lord. But man, you know,
powerful.
John 15, lay down your life for your friends. You know,
and even coming off of Easter, you know, we've talked about, you know, just the prayer in the garden, you know, where even in Jesus's flesh, you know, he prays and he's like, hey, not my will. Like if there's any way this cup could pass, but even so, not my will, I'm paraphrasing, your will be done. So even in the flesh, Jesus like would like to see something different, but that obedience to the Father, which I think is what kind of your mom kind of modeled. And it's just like, you know,
kind of, I mean, that's how he's able to comfort us because he knows
what
we're going through. He knows the feelings.
Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, thinking about that, like Jesus was looking to the other side of the cross and what his death was going to provide for all. And in the same way, if we can, for a moment, right, even in all of that, look to see how God can use something so tragic for his glory.
Yeah.
Man, watch out.
Yeah. And man, sorry to touch on this, but this is like, this is the deep stuff.
Right.
Is, you know, one could look at a child, anyone, just child, you know, as a believer and just go, like he or she, like they were special. And then God, Tommy, to your point, could look down and go like, so was my son.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was a purpose, you know, like that's the stuff that you're like, man, you know, so he can sympathize.
Well, I mean, I've even heard men say, you know, like, don't touch my kids. Don't touch my family.
Mm.
You know, just talking about in reference to God, like, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, who are we?
Yeah.
You know, God wants to use us.
Well, I know, you know, this is probably going to turn into like a 4-part series and I'm totally fine with it because it's an incredible story, because even as you're talking right now, I don't want to give away any spoilers, but later on in your career choice, you come in to face those same realizations that, hey, my career choice could most certainly put my family in a position, you know?
Yeah.
So let's kind of lead into that. So 16.
Right.
You are really struggling with, you know, deep down.
Well, it was at this time. So I remember asking my dad, you know, because I'm having nightmares at this point about going to hell. Like, and just really wrestling with it. No peace. Everything that I hear keeps reminding me of it. And I'm like, I feel like a fraud.
Are you questioning yourself? Like, would you be like, am I really saved?
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, 100%. If I make this three-pointer back behind my back, then I'm saved. I used to do stuff like that. But anyway.
No, for real. Yeah. It was. But I remember asking my dad on a trip home from my grandparents' house. I was like, Dad, am I a Christian? And it was one of the wisest answers I've ever heard, because he didn't say, oh yeah, remember when you were nine after Brian passed, you made this profession of faith and you signed your name on the card and were baptized. He was like, son, he said, that's a decision between you and the Lord. Only you can answer that question.
But you're like, man.
I know. I wanted him to tell me so I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore.
Right.
But, you know.
Thankfully, he didn't. And that's something that we can learn from. I know I can learn from that type of answer.
Yeah.
It's just really thinking through those moments are impactful in the way we lead our, and that's really leading there.
And as hard as a parent, you know, Aaron and I talk about this a lot, but to let your kids fail so that they can learn, that's hard, because you don't want them to be hurt. You want to spare them from all of that stuff, because you know, but we know we had to make dumb choices sometimes to learn the hard things. And the Lord lets us do that. He lets us, you know, if we don't want to trust him and believe him, then we'll fall on that. But, you know, I remember at 15, having that revival, wrestling every single night of the week, knowing what I needed to do and just saying no. And finally that last night, I just couldn't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. So I went and found my youth pastor, and we went to his office, and I just shared with him. And, you know, Tommy, to your point, I was leading out in the youth group. I was doing good things. I was a good kid. And he tried to really like.
You shared with him. What did you share with him? You shared with him, hey, I don't believe that. I need
to be saved.
I need to be saved.
Yeah, man. I know what I need to do. And he was just like, are you sure? You know, like, you just didn't get confused by them, you know, whatever. And I was like, man, I've been wrestling with this for years. I know what I need to do. And and so he prayed, you know, he let me pray and, you know, ask the Lord to forgive me, and ask him to just surrender really completely everything. And that's the difference. You know, it's not going to hell or just getting to go to heaven. It's surrendering everything, saying, God, if you just like my brother, if you want to take my life, then take it. Right? Like, whatever you want to do with it, I'm yours completely. And I mean, it was just like,
yeah, how would that feel?
The biggest burden off my shoulders. Oh, yeah. Man. So I felt so light.
And that's important for people to hear. I think that's a big roadblock, is people think, you know, they might, well, one, I thought I was, right? Or two, like, well, if I do this now at whatever age,
I'm going to look bad, weird, look like a hypocrite. Yeah. I might have been a deacon. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we can all relate. I mean, I totally relate to that. I mean, oh my goodness. Yeah. And just, I mean, we all can relate to that.
Yeah.
But to your point, Justin, how many people are listening that are struggling with that same question?
Right.
Why struggle with it?
Yeah.
If you're questioning it,
right,
put it to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And, you know, I find that's where a lot of guys are. You know, they'll say, you know, I'm just kind of like a lukewarm.
Well, my parents are, you know, I grew up going to church. My parents are believers, so I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
I believe.
Oh, I mean,
right,
100%.
Yeah, but there's a
difference,
huge difference. Yeah, and how we believing in something and completely surrendering and being all in. So
you make the decision. I mean, I'm glad that you didn't let him talk you out of it or question it.
Right.
So you make the decision to surrender your life to Christ.
Yeah.
Right. And and you're at 16 at this point, 17, what?
I was 15 years old. Okay, yep. 15. Yep.
So 15 at this point. Where does that take us now or then after that?
So just like the enemy does, I mean, like full surrender, Lord was moving in my life, and basketball came in, a girlfriend came in, and distractions kind of took over. And so it was kind of a roller coaster ride through high school to get me to a place where he got my heart again, even after all of that. Like, as great as that felt, distractions came in and pulled me away. And so, it wasn't until college that Lord took those loves that were above him. Because you don't even realize what's happening. You know, you're just like, oh, I'm good at basketball and I can get a scholarship. And then all of a sudden you find that's all you think about and all you do.
I mean, I'm playing JUCO.
Right.
Yeah.
Killing it.
Yeah. Well, I hate to be that guy. As much as I want to keep hearing what your story is about, I think this is a good place for us to take a break and revisit this part two. This may be more than Justin. This may be more than two parts because I'm telling you, it's.
I mean,
special.
All of part three's got to be about JUCO career. I mean,
I want to see pictures because you know, way back then, they had the short shorts and the high knee socks, right?
No.
And you wore those canvas Converse. What were those? All Stars. Black and white pictures.
Oh goodness! No, it wasn't that far back. But yeah, it was an incredible experience. But yeah, we'll talk about college. Yeah.
We'll talk about how you met your wife.
Yep.
Which is fun. Talk about your career path.
And there we go. Let's do it.
That's awesome. All right, guys. Pleasure. Love you. Thanks for listening. Peace.